Chapter 119. Pray for Noah. He's woke up sick today, and he has, I don't think he's missed church five times his whole life for sickness. And so that's something to be thankful for. I think sometimes the Lord lets us get down just so we'll be thankful for the good health we do have. And so pray for him. And it's good to have Sister Rebecca with us this morning. Let's pray for her. She's going to Winston tomorrow. And so let's pray for her, that everything goes well with her. And let's remember all the ones that would like to be here that but cannot. Psalms 119. Just going to read one verse this morning. And that's verse number 133. And then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So that's the longest chapter in the Bible. And there's 176 verses. And when I was at Forest Grove, I preached a series. I preached all the way through Psalms 119. That's the first series I ever preached through in the Bible. And at first, I was taking two or three verses a week. And I thought, I won't live long enough to preach all this. So I started preaching eight verses a week. They're broke down in sections of eight verses. And so I tried to cover that every week. And when I got done, there was an older lady in the church there. I won't say who it was, but she's gone on to be with the Lord now. She came by when I got done, and she said, "Pastor, that's been real good, but that's enough." So that was a real encouragement to a young preacher, you know. "That's been real good, but that's enough." So anyway, let's read one verse. Verse 133, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 119, verse 133. The Bible says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here, for all the many blessings you've given to us, for the good Sunday school time. Lord, we are always amazed how that even in Sunday school you'll use that to just go right along with the preaching and what you've laid upon my heart. And Father, I ask that you just speak to our hearts today. I pray that the Word of God would have free course. I pray nothing would hinder in the service today. As a church, we have all kinds of things we're praying about. People that are sick, people that are hurting and in need, our community, souls, Lord, all of these things, we come and bring it before thy throne today. Lord, help us as we come today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you would have your way. I pray if there's anybody here today that's lost, that you'd show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, I pray that, God, the word of the Lord would be real unto us today. We'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we come and ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, before we get started, let me mention one more thing. Visitation, instead of Saturday mornings, we're going to start in the summertime, going on Tuesday nights at 6:45. We'll meet here at the church, and then we'll go out from here. So let's remember that. And that's been a real blessing. Let's pray for those that go out, that the Lord would go before them. And we've seen fruit of that. And people come to the church as a result of visitation. So let's remember that. All right, let's read verse 133 one more time. And we'll get started this morning. The Bible says just simply, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." And what I want to focus on this morning is just the first part of that verse, where it says, "Order my steps in thy word." The psalmist, he has a desire here in the word of God that his steps would be ordered in the word of God. We live in a day and a time where people want to do their thing. I want to do what I want to do. I'm concerned about my desires. But the psalmist, he's the opposite of that. He didn't want to do his thing. He wanted to do God's thing. And so there's this prayer, there's this desire, "Order my steps in thy word." To have one's steps ordered in thy word. That would fall under the category of divine guidance, instruction in our lives. Psalms 32 and verse number 8, the Bible says over there, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. See there, it's talking about, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's very interesting to me. I'm interested in God leading and guiding. In fact, many times when we pray, I'll say, Lord, lead us and guide us. Or a passage of scripture that we might be more familiar with, Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. That's very familiar passage of scripture. A lot of people have it memorized. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wouldn't that be good in your life if that could be your testimony, that God had literally directed your paths? That is a good verse in the Bible. A lot of people commit it to memory, and it's a good passage of scripture to live by. But like a lot of things that we read about and study about in the Bible, we come down to the question, well, how does that actually work? You know, it's one thing to say that or to memorize verses and to say, I have this memorized or this is my favorite verse. But when you get right down to it, a lot of people would still ask the question, well, how does that work? How does that work that the Lord would order my steps? How does that work that God would guide us with his eye? How does that work that he shall direct thy paths? All of that has to do with instruction, guidance, direction, order. I've had many people ask me down through the years, they'll say, well, I want to know God's will. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? Which way am I supposed to go? I've got a decision to make in my life. And we're not talking this morning about moral things. I'm not talking about between good and bad. That ought to be obvious, but I'm just talking about when you come down in your life, I've got a decision to make. I want to do the right thing. How do I make sure that I am following the leadership, the instruction of God? How do I know that I am yielding to his guidance in my life? What am I supposed to do? So I hope this message today will help you in the future to discern that answer in your life. How are my steps ordered in the Word of God? How does the Lord direct me? How do I know? I've been asked this a lot of times down through the years. How do I know God's will for my life? And I want to share with you three things today, and then I'll be done. Three things about this thought. Order my steps in thy word. First of all, I want to say some things about the will of God. We talk about that all the time. We probably use the phrase the will of God sometimes and we don't even know we've used it. The will of God, though, is a very important thing. Ephesians 5 and 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That'd be a good thing to know. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes people come along and they say, well, if I understood what the will of God was, I would do it. Or we like I do sometimes. I know I'm guilty. I use the will of God where really I shouldn't use the will of God. I was talking yesterday with some men, and we were talking about tithes. And tying ties and how ties used to be. And you know, we was just talking about ties. And I made the statement about tying a tie. I said, if I pick out a tie, and in the third try, if it's not tied right, I just think that's the will of God. I don't wear that tie. And if I can't get it right here, I don't want it up here. And I don't want it way down there. It's got to be right around my belt buckle or I just can't stand it. And so if I try that three times and that doesn't work out, I just say, that's not the will of God. I wear that tie. And I'll go find something else. But you know what? Scripturally, could I find some scripture to back that up? That's not the will of God that I wear that tie. That's more of a personal quirk in my life. That's not spiritual. That's not got anything to do with the Lord. I don't think God cares if I wear a red tie or blue tie or the kind of tie I've got. I don't think that the Lord is really concerned. I don't think that comes under the heading of, is it the will of God that this tie that I've got on today, that it's the one I was supposed to wear? I just don't believe you could find in the Bible anything to back that up. But we do find the will of God in the Bible. And I'm very interested in the will of God. But you might be surprised what you find in the Bible exactly about the will of God. I'm going to give you two things this morning. I want you to turn there because I want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter 3. And, of course, keep your place in Psalms 119, but I'm going to show you a couple of things about the will of God in the Bible. One of them is negative, one of them is positive. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, this is familiar scripture. And it has to do with the will of God. I was listening to the preacher on the radio this morning. He referred to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. It's page 1319 in the Scofield Bible, but 2 Peter 3 and 9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and here it is, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's a negative statement concerning the will of God. What I mean by that, it says not willing. This is something that is definitely not the will of God. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we're talking about the will of God, what that simply means is it is God's will that people be saved. It is God's will that people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a day and a time and a place in their life where they can go back to and say, "That is where the Lord saved me." He's not willing that any should perish. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus at night and he wanted to talk to Jesus. Nicodemus was very interested. He said, "We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't get into a theological discussion with Nicodemus. He just went straight to the point and he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's what Nicodemus needed. Nicodemus had all kinds of religious knowledge, but he had never been born again. He had never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So anybody that is interested in the will of God ought to be interested in the subject of salvation, because it is not the Lord's will. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants people to know about Him and His saving grace. And John 3:16, and all those good things we think about when we think about knowing the Lord. Do you know the Lord? It's not the Lord's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so that is definitely come under the heading of God's will. But look over in Romans chapter 12. I want to show you a couple of verses over there. And I'm sure you're familiar with this as well. So God is not willing, first of all, that any should perish. He wants people to be saved. But you know, that's not the end of it. After we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what? I've got good news for you. God's got something He wants you to do. And it's the Lord's will. People say, "If I knew the Lord's will, I'd do it." Well, I'm going to show you the Lord's will for your life. Not only that you would be saved, but second of all this morning, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." Now they're already saved. They know the Lord. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there it is in the last part, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and, notice this, perfect will of God. Say, preacher, what's the will of God for my life? Well, it is the perfect will of God for your life that you would present your body a living sacrifice. That you would, like we sing in the song, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have you give Him your all? Have you dedicated your life unto Him? You know, we used to hear more preaching about that than we do. I'm sure we did. That we would dedicate our lives to the Lord, that we would present ourselves for His service, that we would have a desire to live our lives for Him. After all, the Bible says it's just your reasonable service. Years ago, I read a book by Charles Finney, and he made an illustration in that book I've never forgot. He said it's just your reasonable service because the Lord paid a debt that you could never pay. If you was to live 1,000,000 years, He paid your sin debt. And so you'll never be able to pay Him back. In fact, if you lived 1,000,000 years, you wouldn't get more out of debt, you'd get more in debt. So what can a poor man offer a rich man? He can't offer to pay him back. But if he really wanted to do something for that man that had paid his debt, he'd never pay if he lived 1,000,000 years. He could just come and say, I can never pay you back, but I'll give you my life. Give you my life. That's just your reasonable service. After all that the Lord has done for us, if you're saved, and you've got a home in heaven, and you know if you died that you wouldn't die and go to hell, that's a great thing that God's done for you. You have won the spiritual lottery. They're talking on the news about the lottery. And they said the same thing I said about it. They said, what's your chances of winning? I guess it's got up real high. I don't know that much about it, but I just heard it on the news. And they said, what's your chances of winning it? And the person on the news said, not much. Not much. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've won the spiritual lottery. You are in the minority as far as the population of the whole wide world is concerned. So the Lord's done a great deal for you. And it's God's will for every one of us today not only to be saved, but to serve the Lord with our life. Now, I was saved when I was a young boy. And long about the time of 18 or 19 years old, I did dedicate my life to the Lord the best I knew how. I believe everybody ought to do that. I didn't do that at first, not that I knew, but there come a time in my life where I did. I said, Lord, I want to give my life for You. I want to give my life to You. I believe we ought to come to a place in our lives like that, but do you know what? There's a lot of life-changing decisions along the way that are not covered under Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I mean, that tells us about the will of God. I know it's the will of God to be saved, and I know it's the will of God for me to live my life for Him, but how do I really get His direction in my life? So, number one, there's the will of God. Number two today, there is the walk with God. You want to know about God's direction and instruction and order in your life? You're going to have to know what it means to walk with God. Walk with God. He said in Psalms 119 in verse 133, He said, order thou my steps. Order thou, or not thou, but order my steps in thy word. What He's saying there in verse number 133, He's saying, Lord, I want You to establish my steps. I want You to set up the steps of my life, arrange my steps, direct my steps, govern my steps, lead me in my steps. That's what that means. Order my steps. Steps has to do with walking, doesn't it? This is talking about our walk with the Lord. If it is your desire that the Lord would order your steps in His Word, that you would be under the leadership and the guidance of God, that is going to be have to be more than just a trip to the altar. A lot of people have done this. They went to the altar after they got saved. They've said in some kind of prayer, they've said, "Lord, I want to live my life for You. If there's anything You want me to do, let me know. And I'm going to go on out and do what I want to do." Does anybody know anything about that kind of dedication to the Lord? "Lord, here I am. I'm in a revival meeting and I'm sort of pumped up spiritually and I feel like I ought to do something. Lord, here I am. If there's anything You want, You just let me know." Then we just go right on out and we do whatever we want to do. You're not going to find the direction and guidance of God in your life in that kind of a dedication. You're going to have to learn what it means to walk with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible said, "And Enoch walked with God." I believe you can walk with God. I believe we have many examples in the Bible of people that walked with God. I believe Abraham walked with God. Moses walked with God. Joshua walked with God. Nehemiah and Daniel and on and Esther and Ruth and Boaz and Paul and Peter and John and on and on and on. There's been some grandmas and grandpas that's walked with God. I don't believe that's just something that we have to go back to the Bible to find. I believe these people here this morning, you can think of people in your life that you knew they walked with God. I was involved in a funeral a couple of years ago, and I didn't know the people. I can't even remember how I got involved in this. I think it was probably through the American Legion. You know, sometimes people, they don't have a preacher. I don't know. But I noticed something in that funeral that everybody got up and bragged about how Grandpa walked with God. What an influence it was on their lives. Everybody that stood up and said anything talked about how that person had walked with God. That had been a major influence in their lives because somebody walked with God. Look in your Bibles in Psalms chapter number 37. I want to show you something over there. Do you know anything today about walking with God? Well, I believe Grandpa did. I'm not asking you if your grandpa did or your grandma did. You know anything about walking with God? David knew some things about walking with God. Now here's the thing. David wasn't perfect. I found out in my life, there's some people I thought were perfect, but you know what I found out? They weren't perfect either. David wasn't perfect, but you know what? He walked with God. The Bible said in Psalms 37, verse number 23, it says the steps, that's talking about a walk, isn't it? We would all associate that with the walk. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then notice what it says. And he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. You know, I've been saved way more than half my life. I've been preaching more than half my life. But you know what? There's been times in my Christian life where I've not been delighting in the Lord. Do you know the times I can go back to and see where I've not been where I should have been? I've not been walking as I should have been walking. I could not have the testimony of verse number 23, and he delighteth in his way. My conflict always comes when old me, myself, and I get in the way. Well, Lord, this is what I want to do. God wants me to walk in this way, and he's leading me in this direction, and I should delight in that. And I'll tell you, if you get in that path, you will delight in that. You'll see how good it is. But you're always going to have conflict and indecision and unhappiness in your life when you get in what you want to do. Because what you want to do is not what God has for you to do if you're saved. He's got a will for you. He's got a walk for you. But you can't delight in it if you're over here doing what you want to do. And it's just a big thing in your life when you come to the place where you can recognize what you want versus what God wants. It's a good place to come to. When you can recognize, no, that's not what God wants, that's what I want. But I want to have enough God about me but that I would do what the Lord wants. Look what he said in Psalms 37. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Look at this, verse 24. Though he fall. Now, it doesn't mean if you walk with God, you're never going to have any problems. It does not mean that you'll never have difficulty in your life, that you'll never fall in your life. But, look what the Bible says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You know, we've got some little ones in here, and we've got some learning to walk. We've got some that are going to learn to walk, and you know what? None of them, and none of us have ever learned to walk without falling. That's just part of learning to walk. You're going to mess up. Right there, we'll say, thank God for His grace. Though he fall, the Bible says, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. I like that, because I'm getting on the other side. We had a picture made a few weeks ago, and they wanted me to be in it, and somebody said, well, you're the old preacher. I don't know, there's probably good and bad in that. But David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You know, if you really want to know about somebody, just walk with them. Just talk with them. Learn more about them. Listen to what they have to say. You know, have you ever experienced in your life, some people have a testimony and they would say, the Lord spoke to me. Have you ever experienced that in your life? The Lord spoke to me. And I'm not talking about eating pizza right before you go to bed late. I've had a lot of visions and things under the influence of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Lord spoke to you. I'm not talking about in an audible voice either, but I'm talking about an impression from the Lord that you knew was from Him. Isaiah 30 and 21 says it like this, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Say, preacher, how does that work? When you hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And all I know to tell you this morning is when you hear it, you'll know. And if you don't know what that means, I know that probably aggravates you. It's sort of like when you were growing up and you asked your mom or you asked your dad, you said, how will I know when I fall in love? And they said, well, I don't know how to explain it, but when you do, you'll know. That's about as helpful as nothing, isn't it? I don't know how to explain that, but When you know, you'll know. Well, thanks a lot. How do you know when the Lord spoke to you? When you know, you'll know. When you hear that still, small voice, when you have got to the place in your life where you want to know the will of God more than you want to know anything else in the world, and you are seeking His face, and you are in the Word of God, and He speaks to your heart, you'll know. You'll know, I could give many, many, many illustrations about times where the Lord has spoke to my heart and given me direction, and I knew that was from the Lord. Before we went as missionaries out to Idaho, you talk about a trial in somebody's life. Am I going to resign my church? I was at Forest Grove, and if I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. I would say, I hope God leaves me here till the rapture. I love pastoring over there. I love them people. I still love them today. That's the way it ought to be. Boy, I'll tell you, when God laid it on my heart to become a missionary and go out west, you talk about a trial of, Lord, are you sure about this? God, is this what you want? And I'd read the Bible and prayed and I'd roll that over. And I'm talking about moving across the country. I'm talking about leaving friends. I preached a message of forsaking your friends and your family and your finances and your flesh. And I had a whole list of things. But I was over on the hill hunting one day. And where I was hunting, I could see my house across the road, probably about 3/4 of a mile away. And I was sitting there praying, God. I wasn't no more hunting than, that wasn't no more on my mind, buddy. I was wrestling with that thing. And I was sitting there, and oh, what a turmoil in my heart and in my soul. And I could see the house, and where that's my life. That's my life. That's all I've ever known. And I can see it all in my eyes before me. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? This is about to kill me. And that still small voice came by and said, I want you to go to Idaho. I cannot explain that to you. But I went home and I went in the house and I told Kim, I said, I've got that settled in my heart. God spoke to my heart. He wanted me to go. You know what? A few years after that, God spoke to my heart in a very real way, said, I want you to go back. You know, I'm living where I looked one day. God said, give it all up. Give it all up. Just trust me. And I gave it all up to that still small voice. When I gave it all up, God gave it all back. If you'll ever get to that place in your life, it'll be a good place in your life. You say, but God, I want to hang on to this. I've got to hang on to this. God said, if you give it all up, you trust me with it. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And I knew I was supposed to be at Forest Grove, and I knew I was supposed to be at Faith Baptist Church. I know I'm supposed to be here this morning. It's a good place to be at in your life. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I always obey and do what I'm supposed to do. But I'm telling you this morning, you will not be disappointed to walk with God. You want to know His direction and His guidance in your life? David said in Psalms 18:36, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Boy, God's good. God's good. You ought to learn to walk with Him. You ought to learn to listen to Him. So you're going to need the will of God in your life, and you're going to need to walk with God in your life. And last of all, this morning, you're going to need the wisdom of God in your life. Now, I was studying about this, and I heard a preacher the other day. He said, we've got another name for God, and we call Him something. We say, something spoke to me. Maybe that's the Lord. But I was studying and thinking about this. Order my steps in thy word. The will of God in the Bible is a very general thing. I mean, that applies to everybody. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God. It's very general that you would present your body a living sacrifice. Men, women, boys, girls, old, young, it does not matter. That's very general. The walk of God is for the specifics in your life. You're going to have to know some very intimate details in your life, what you're supposed to do. You need to walk with God in order to find out His guidance and His instruction. But the wisdom of God is for daily living. For daily living, God has given us of His wisdom. The psalmist said there in verse number 133, he said, order my steps in thy word. Isn't that good? Order my steps in thy word. I've had people come to me and, oh, they're so tore up. Preacher, I want to know God's will for my life. And I tell people, it is not a secret. God's will is not a secret. He's not trying to keep it from you so you will be miserable. He wants you to know His will. And God's will is not rocket scientists. It's not something that is you have to be a mastermind in order to solve it. God's will is not like that. James 1:5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means God won't hold it out in front of you and snatch it away when you get there. He upbraideth not. He doesn't taunt you. He doesn't torture you over His will. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give to all men liberally. God has got wisdom. The answer that you need is already written down in His word. He's already given you the answer. You got to find it. Look in Psalms 19. Psalms chapter number 19. I want to read a few verses over there. And I'll be done this morning shortly. Boy, I'm doing good today. Psalms 19. I want to show you something over there. I had debated about using this passage of Scripture, but it's wonderful. It talks about in Psalms 19, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. They've got the Hubble telescope now, and it's still finding things they didn't know was there. I've got news for them. They're not going to find it all. Heavens declare the glory of God. But anyway, verses 1 through 6 is talking about the heavens and God's power over them. But verse number 7, it changes, the subject changes to the Word of God. It says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, is what the Bible says. These four things there about the Word of God you cannot get anywhere else. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's salvation. You're not going to get that anywhere else. You're going to get that from the Word of God, nowhere else. Second of all, he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There's your education. Making wise the simple. I'm not anti-education, I'm for it. I teach in a school. I think we need to know. But you know what? You can be book smart. And to the point that nobody can understand what you say. And if you don't know the Lord, you're still foolish. Making wise the simple. There's your education. Verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's your motivation. You know you're going to have some motivation in this life. It's untelling how much of our population is on antidepressants. You know what? That don't work. That doesn't make people happy. The Word of God will make you happy. You're going to need some motivation in your life. Rejoicing the heart, that'll motivate you. The Word of God. And then it said, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. There's your direction. You're going to need direction. You're going to be at places in your life you say, it's dark. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Get in the Word of God. He'll enlighten your eyes. There's your direction. Many other good things in here. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I never hear that fellow on TV talking about how important it is that I would buy gold. You ever heard that? Buy gold. I think to myself, who can buy gold? Who can afford gold? But I've got something better than gold. That's what the Bible says. You can lose gold. This is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. There's a reward from the Word of God. You know, when I was a young preacher and God had just called me to preach, I immediately started buying books. I don't know how many books I have. Books about the Bible. Commentaries, dictionaries, devotional books. I probably got, I'm going to guess, thousands. I probably got thousands of books. When my grandpa Cornette passed away, he was a preacher. I inquired about his library. And what I found out was that his library consisted of that right there. And he had a whole bookshelf of song books. That's rejoicing the heart. And he had a dictionary. And two or three little old other, nothing. But I bought thousands of books. And I went up to the bookstore the other, probably a month and a half ago. I spent almost $100 on books. I brought them home, good books. I'm interested. I want to read them books. I brought them home. I set them on my workbench down in the basement. And you know where them books are? I studied last night. They're right there where I set them down. And what I learned after a while, I buy books out of habit. I've got more books than I will be able to read in my lifetime. But I never go a day I don't get in that book. It didn't take me long. Now, here's how we are. We think, this is how I was as a young preacher, we think that we're going to find a book that is going to be the key to Christian living. Boy, over at the bookstore, there's all these new titles. Somebody's got the answer to what I need in one of them books. That's how we are. If you're a hunter, you're that way. This new deer scent that's coming out next fall, you've got to have that. If you don't have that, you ain't going to kill no deer. If you're a golfer, you got to have this new golf ball that's come out. I got a magazine yesterday, and you got to have one of them drivers. If you don't have that, you won't be able to hit a ball off the tee. And you ladies, I'm sure there's something you're interested in that I'm not. But we're sold on the thing that you have got to have this. And it's the same thing in our Christian life. But I'm telling you this morning, you got to have this. You got to have this. The answer to what you need is right in that book. Right in that book. You can buy all the other books and not find the answer, but you'll find the answer in that book. You have got to have that book. That is wisdom for daily living. Best thing I've ever done in my Christian life is read through the Bible every year and read a proverb, a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. I've read and wrote out of the book of Proverbs, and I'm still finding things I never found before. When I was a young preacher, I preached three messages. I thought, Lord, that's all that's in there. I won't be able to preach anything else. I preached it all. Now I realize I won't live long enough to preach it all, to find it all. There's no secret in the Christian life apart from this. Get out of the bed, number one. You got to get out of the bed. You will not live for God by accident. You're going to have to get out of the bed. You're going to have to get in God's book. You're going to have to study and read God's book. You're going to have to get some prayer time in your life. You're going to have to obey what God shows you to do. That's message number two right there. You have to obey what God shows you to do. And then you know what? The next day you do that all over again. Repeat. You ever seen them directions? Rinse, repeat, rinse, wash, rinse, cycle, repeat. Do it all over again. The psalmist said here in verse number 133, I know that's not a very long verse, but boy, there's a whole lot in it. I'm closing this morning. He said, and this is just the first part of the verse, order my steps in thy word. I see people all the time, their lives are so messed up. I think I don't even know what I could tell them. wouldn't it be so much better if we got off on the right foot and stayed in the right path? Order my steps in thy word. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.